Special City Council Meeting, September 30th, 2014, Sadie Creek Park.
On this, you think this could maybe be a jewel?
I do. So, real quick, I'm Chris Danley. I'm the either genius or knucklehead, I guess, depending upon your perspective of the plan, but that was brought in to kind of give you guys a little bit of an eye on what is possible, at least sort of what I've seen kind of doing work. I've done work all over the state. I just got back from the Silver Valley up in Kellogg and Wallace area that last week, and Ponderé, Coody, Sandpoint the week before, so it's good to be home and stable for a little while. Just to give you a little brief background, I've been out here poking around, taking a bunch of pictures and asking people with thoughts and questions who I've seen in the parks at CUNA days, and really just taking it all in. And specifically with regard to this park, I see legitimately a pretty good opportunity here in what you have. And what you have is a good start in this fishing area, in this swimming pond. You know, the difference between this one and Nicholson is that Nicholson you can fish, as you know. And so, although Nicholson may be more central to a larger portion of the population for the citizens of CUNA, that potentially could be a conflict, maybe not, with the fishing aspect of things. But this does not have that feature, which in my mind kind of opens it up to something else. So with regard to this site, I mean, really what you have here, in my opinion, is something that could be opened up into almost recreating sort of like a miniature lake type setting. You've got a pretty good, healthy amount of grass at this point. It's just lawn, so it's pretty easy to come in and do whatever you wanted to do with it. You've got this really neat beach feature, which again is kind of an unusual thing. If you think about even just going up to any of our natural lakes, go up to, Cascade, Payette, whatever, there's not a lot of beach space necessarily for the public to enjoy, yet you have, especially given the population, a fairly good start on something like that, and it really can kind of run the perimeter of the circumference of the pond. So thinking about that, I just kind of borrowed from places that I've seen and some things that kind of came to mind. And one thing I heard from citizens was that they don't necessarily swim in it as much, in part because of the heat, because of the sun exposure. Number one, not having a little bit of a break in shade, but number two, the fact that the pond gets pretty warm, and from what I was told, I haven't checked it out myself, but it seemed like there was a healthy amount of algae blooms that kind of can grow in that, and can, especially for kids, make them a little nervous about stuff touching them and all that kind of stuff. So, that was a concern, and that certainly is at least a temporary barrier. But taking that and adding potentially a nice fountain to get that water to circulate a bit, adding over time some good shade to hopefully mitigate some of the algae and consideration and concerns that people have, but then repurposing some of this area through here, and again, this extension of water, this extension of beach and lake and all that, where you could have some sand volleyball courts and some of the other things that were suggested in the plan. Big picture, and yes, of course, it's got a price tag. I will be the first to admit that. But this opportunity potentially for some sort of a cool water slide, it's so unique and it's got enough ground that you could probably get something like that in here. And if you between that and maybe even adding a splash pad, as I was just mentioning, as up in Coeur d'Alene, this McCune Park that they just built had this, it's probably the best splash pad in the state if I had to bet. But man, what an unbelievable sight. These kids are just having a great time there. But adding some of those features a little bit at a time, over time, I think that, boy, this, especially given the fact that you're going to grow in this general direction over time with development, seems like you could separate yourself from the Meridians and the Nampas and have something that's pretty unique. And again, in terms of costs and stuff, I know that's always probably at the forefront of everybody's mind. There are certain things that are sort of that low-hanging fruit. Some of the trees that can be planted that, will grow over time. The volleyball court, in terms of the relative costs, is probably a little bit on the lower side. But yes, you know, some of the other things would cost a little bit of money, but that was sort of in part what this project was about, is to give some things that can be achieved and attained sooner, some stuff maybe sort of midterm, and then some bigger picture goals that more about that vision of what can actually transpire here. So with that, I mean, the only other park that has a body of water is Winchester. But again, that's a fishing pond, and it seems like it's also a little more of an established neighborhood. So in terms of, you know, concern for volume and things that might normally pop up when you introduce a whole bunch of people over time, these folks are just moving here, and you still have some lots that have yet to even be built. So maybe that's not as big of an issue, especially if you can get that vision in front of them sooner than later and say, look, just so you know, this is what could be potentially coming, and maybe even your developers over here will look at that and see that as an opportunity as well. So that's a synopsis of sort of what was going on in my head, and if anybody has any questions, comments, and concerns, you know, I'll certainly try to do my best to answer them.
What is your estimation of cost if we...
I would not be able to give you that number, to be perfectly frank. I come from a transportation background, and so things in the terms of the sidewalks and crosswalks and stuff like that is more my neck of the woods. I don't think it would be too terribly difficult to find out some costs, though, and include some of those things in the report. I think that would be certainly possible, doing a little bit of digging. But some of the things are, you know, they're like I said, some of those things are going to cost a little bit of money in terms of the water slide possibility, if that was something that was desired, and certainly the pump system. The downside is that if there's not some of those things that are done and it stays as is, some of these trees will certainly grow. But especially given the fact that when people are going to come here to enjoy this park, especially in the summertime, where is the sun? Right, the sun's going to be over here, so these trees are going to be casting their shadows that direction, which means that the lake is still going to continue to have its issues, or the pond, I should say. So, you know, it's one of those things that's going to take a little bit of money, I think, to invest in this site for sure.
So I'm assuming the water slide feature and all that would require a life jar.
I would assume so, yes. Now here's the kicker on that, is that, you know, if in the future, over time, as you develop some of these things and it becomes this site that is really heavily used and desirable, there are some parks that have put in, you know, a nominal fee to try to recoup some of those operation costs. I know that Ivy Wild Park in Boise, for example, I don't know if it has the water slides into the pool. It may, but it definitely has the splash pad and that kind of component, and they charge a small fee for that, you know, some of the municipal pool type stuff. And I know that that pool idea, by the way, I'm aware, is certainly also something that you guys are certainly striving to achieve. I will say one other thing, and that is at CUNA Days, now mind you, that was the 2nd of August, if I recall correctly, or 1st of August, so it was pretty warm, but man, there was not a single issue that was a country mile closer than something about swimming when I asked people about what they wanted to see in CUNA. It was not even, it was like 24 to 3 was the nearest, something like that. So, yeah, so you could explore that as a future opportunity, though, as some of these things. Or at least maybe you kind of fence off the splash pad or something like that. But it's an opportunity to potentially recover some of those costs in the long run. Not going to pay for it all for sure, but at least offset it to an extent. The cool thing, I think, though, is that you may very well start to get some folks from other communities that come here, you know, and patron some of the businesses, you know, and if you do pay for some, or if you require a fee, you know, kind of help some of that as well. So I think there's a legitimate possibility, because I will tell you now that a lot of your citizens are leaving CUNA to go do these kinds of things in places that are available.
How deep is this? It's maybe what? 14 feet?
I thought it was closer to 18. I think so.
It's taller than you.
Yeah.
It's deep.
It's deep.
Deep, huh? Deep enough to get a truck stuck.
Well, I know, I was out here.
Three trucks.
Yeah, three trucks. But I didn't think it was that deep.
About 30 feet out, 40 feet out. I have 30 feet out. It's at least 6 to 8 feet deep.
It drops off pretty fast.
Yeah, I know that from experience.
What would you do with the slide in winter time?
Yeah.
Because of the drop off that slide, I could visualize kids daring each other to go down that thing.
I think we'd have to figure out something.
I know it would happen.
We'd have to figure out something for it year round too, just so that people aren't using it like in the middle of the night, or you know what I mean.
Does it drain much, or does it fill up all winter long?
It's supposed to stay full.
It's supposed to.
It has a liner in it,
uh-huh,
so that it won't drain away. But we think we lose some through the intake box.
So you've invested a full liner into, how much did that cost, if you don't mind me asking?
The whole pond and the complex cost $650,000.
Yeah, so you've got a significant investment here, as it is. So that liner is, I mean, and I was just asked, as I mentioned, in the Silver Valley, where wintertime activities is, as you know, a major part of what their lifestyle is, what can be done in the wintertime. And asking a question like that, I asked, you know, is there a place for kids to, you know, even go ice skate? And there isn't. I mean, I was surprised to hear that answer, given that the outdoor activity in wintertime is so prominent up there. But it's pretty much for them, you know, go on the ski hill, which costs $45 a day for a pass or something like that. So my point is that if this does maintain, it freezes up then at some point, at least to every now and then. Now that gets into, you know, some of the liability issues that, you know, you have to think through in terms of access and stuff like that, but it certainly, at least on occasion, allows some opportunities if it's a certain depth of ice.
We could field a hockey team.
Well, they used to be. You skate along the creek on some winters, you know, and freeze. I've seen some ponds kind of like this one that have a big spray in the middle. Is that to cool them?
Well, that's the Discovery Park has one of those up at the base of the dam. And part of that is just to circulate the water and make sure that it's kind of going and it's not just stagnant. Because if this doesn't have any kind of, you know, flow, it's not deep enough necessarily. So it probably gets pretty warm. So between the heat getting into the water and the lack of shade, it's really a recipe for that algae issue and maybe some bug issues and stuff like that, some breeding. I don't know what kind of mosquito problems you may or may not have around.
Well, we're in the mosquito abatement district.
Yeah, so. I believe me, I know that one after that Winchester experience.
We pump out of this for irrigation new buildings. So we have constant water coming in and going out.
Yeah.
Maybe not enough to hold algae down.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things where it's a little deep in the middle. In the sense of kids going out and kind of being around that, I would agree that that's a little bit deep, as opposed to say like Discovery. The depth there, I think maximum depth in that thing. I used to train a lot in that pond. I don't know if it's any deeper than 7 to 8 feet, maybe at its deepest part. But where that pump is, I don't think it's more than 6 to 7 feet deep at most. So it's accessible for kids to go out there and kind of be around it. They just gravitate toward it. This is massive sprinkler, basically. At the end of the day, though, like I said, this is a plan that's sort of a little unique in that there's not necessarily a direct right or wrong answer, and that's why your input, you know, is so important to this and what the future could hold for this site or some of the others, you know. But hopefully it gives you a target to go after some of those short-term
things,
longer-term things.
Gordon, do we own the land going west up there?
No.
It stops just where the rocks are, basically?
It's a little past that. I was trying to see if I could see a line.
It's more about the grass.
Yeah, that's white fence.
Yeah, that white fence.
And then all that is part of the park too, all the grass, all over here.
How about that house?
That's our office.
That's the mayor's mansion.
Yeah.
That's why he wants this developed so he'd have a nice backyard.
And just the other thing I'm seeing now is, you know, the reality is that parcel over there at some point is going to develop, and that might be yet another opportunity to do something with in terms of adding on to that space if you have a dedicated.
There's no fish. No. No.
She was a Cunaday. Do you guys have? I can't recall in your subdivision ordinance a 10% green space or open space dedication. Yes, I'm getting up ahead. So if and when that parcel develops, that could also be something that's an opportunity. Is that getting that 10% to be consolidated along the where basically that fence line is? That's the, you know, the line in the sand. That could actually increase the footprint of this park if you wanted to do anything else. You know, so eventually, if you wanted to get into like a city run, you know, snack shop kind of a thing, I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities going.
In that subdivision, where is the park, the open space? I don't remember ever seeing it.
I can tell you they've got islands down the main street coming in, but where the percentages came or whether this was part of the percentage or not, I couldn't tell you. There's 141 lots or something in that in that site, so this could be the 10%.
Out of curiosity, does the 10% have to be in that subdivision, or could they donate an equal amount of land at another location, such as that parcel?
Well, actually, Mayor and I have had conversations on that very subject. But right now, it's not set up to have it any place except within the bounds of the subdivision.
Okay. Maybe it's something we should look at in order to acquire more land for soccer fields.
Yeah, part of what his responsibility is, besides what he's doing under the High Five grant, is to inventory our parks, which he's done, and we have to establish how many acres per citizen, and then that's the first calculation that comes in for impact fee on houses for parks, which case we'll get rid of the little dedicated
thing that will
be donated.
That
would work to expand this or any other thing, yeah.
You know what that sounds like? Dad, I'm in here, let me out. Let me out, Dad. That's what it sounds like.
I'm in this.
Long day, friend.
Will you run off if you let him out?
Oh, no.
One thing we are doing out here, actually, as soon as this meeting's over, and we're putting a 12 by 12 shade right out here in between those two middle trees. It's an Eagle Scout project.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like the one we did over at Sago.
Oh, okay.
But it's a different Eagle
like
Scout group. Yeah.
Okay. Shelter type of thing. Yeah. Yep. Gotcha.
Be done in the morning?
Yeah, it should be done by midnight.
It's due after this meeting. So.
Wow.
Really?
They're doing it at night because it's Corey Barton's lumber.
Yeah, you better be careful.
Done by morning.
Rewind. Yeah.
Reallocation of lumber.
Or he's like, where are those 8x16 beams I have?
Yeah, really?
What is that car doing way out there?
Thing that was mentioned with the big picture, was the notion of shade, and that was definitely a prominent theme in looking at some of the parks.
He's
in addition to this one.
Yeah, it just went down that really steep.
Some parks that are open, especially some of the ones where soccer's played in the dead of summer, especially. You know, it would. I think also, there's a give and take with trees. There's maintenance of trees that has to occur. But on the same token, like I can tell you, my front yard this year has grown so well because it's shaded in the afternoon and requires so much so less water and mowing and all that stuff. So it's a trade-off, you know. And the same thing with at Nicholson Park with the regard to the shade tree. When the I just got lucky, I guess, when I went out there and the summer program that you guys had, the Ranger program, was going on, and that was mentioned by some of the kids and adults there in terms of shade. So just another one of those sort of big picture themes that kind of seemingly made its way through. Some of your older parks certainly had plenty of shade, but yeah, some of the newer ones maybe not quite as much.
Yeah, that's why they keep putting the picnic tables in the pond.
Cooler.
As a side note, I really liked what you had to say about the Arbor Ridge Park and finding a way to use the space on the other side of the canal there.
Oh yeah.
Especially when like there's actively soccer games and stuff going on, so that there's still usable space for other park patrons. Do you think it would make sense, or and I guess this question is for you guys too. Given that that park is very long or deep or however you want to say it from where the parking lot is, and if there's soccer games and stuff going on, essentially your only entry point to the other side of the canal is from one end of the park, would it make sense or even be logical to put some sort of like a little footbridge over it, like maybe midway down or something, like or two-thirds of the way down, just so that there's some ability to access both sides without having to walk all the way, like the whole length of the park, potentially?
Are you speaking of the drain ditch down the middle?
Yeah.
It's actually, I mean, it's almost all the way off to one. Like, there's a strip of park that he suggested doing, like, picnic tables and gazebos and barbecue kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's, the irrigation ditch and then all the soccer fields and stuff. So it's, like, maybe a quarter of the park just on one side of it.
I think you bring up a great point.
You actually budgeted a significant amount of money to go towards burying or covering that drain ditch so that they can put soccer fields all the way across. But there's still a strip over against the west side that should be developed in something that's more a non-soccer player type of activities, picking and trees and that sort of stuff. So that's there's still space there for that.
That's another one of those really good opportunities, and I don't know, and maybe I'll have to add a page to this, but there's something that I work with. It's called the Seven Dimensions of Health. And ultimately, just know this, that we always think of the physical realm in terms of health. That's the obvious: running, jumping, playing. It's always, but we go and we experience our parks, schools, etc., for a whole multitude of reasons. You know, everything from when you go for a walk, why do you go? You know, oftentimes, I got to go recharge my battery. I need to think about something. Sometimes we do our best thinking and bonding when we just are going for a walk and doing stuff like that, taking the dogs to the park. So my point is, and what I would encourage you to think about as you move forward, is that when you think of these parks, think about everybody in the community. I know that this particular project was, because of the grant source, more focused towards the sort of teen and under crowd, but there's a lot of things that people want to do and participate in that really can run the gamut of age and offer a lot of good opportunities. You know, capture people who want to move to CUNA or be in their stay, retire in CUNA, given a few other things to do. You know, that was one of the recommendations. I had to throw in one, and that was by, I think that was, is it Fisher Park? The one that has the senior center retirement kind of place on the south side, giving those folks a place, for example, to go that's pretty close, proximate to just be active. On the other stand, my point will be made here is that when I was up north in a community up by Sandpoint, there was a retirement community that was completely gated in with spikes on the top of it, and I asked the owner, I said, do these folks get a chance to walk and be out? And he said, no, we have a courtyard. Well, the courtyard was maybe half the size of this fenced area, and there was a ring. So these folks are just doing rings that are maybe 15 feet in diameter, and that's the extent of their physical, emotional charge. And it's like, wow, to me, that's kind of a sad way for things to kind of culminate in life, you know, but that's just my impression, I guess.
Well, good. I
anything here. We always kind of worry about kids down here with drugs. Haven't been thinking much of improving this, but you got some great ideas. Yeah. And we'll have to focus a little bit on the algae problem, because I know when it gets hot, and we may have to concentrate on putting spray up to cool it. And it shouldn't be too stagnant though, because we're taking water out all the time. Yeah, and bringing, is this ditch water that's coming in?
Yeah. We haven't noticed a whole lot of algae, as much algae at this one as in at Nicholson. There's quite a bit.
Okay.
This one has, I think, a little bit, but not compared to Nicholson.
Take one of the blowers from the ponds out there and install it off here.
You better put some grass carp in there.
One of the used ones.
Well, and as I mentioned, that McCune Park, while I was there, some other things that hit me that I've never seen before that I again could be added very simply. As I'm looking at that telephone pole out there, I see either some sort of a raptor hawk. In that park, they put in three of the perches that you see all the time, a great big, probably 60-foot pole with the perch on top where they're nesting right in the middle of the park. Downtown, right next to the resort. In addition to that, they were having classes for some kids that were. They had a sort of this excavation site, like an archaeological dig, that was off to the side. They had it all kind of netted off at the bottom. These kids were charting stuff out. I mean, those are all things that, given the space like that, I mean, it really is inspiring to see what's happening in some of our sites, and it's gone away from some of the more common stuff to really getting into some of these deeper things that I was kind of getting to with that seven dimensions. So anyway, if anybody has any more questions, I'll be happy to answer. But I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to come down and work here. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Do you have a specific site somewhat similar to this that's developed up that we can kind of
Something similar to this that is in that mold that I'm kind of getting at, what you mean? That's a good one. I have to think about that. I don't know if any park off the top of my head kind of has all of these features. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, for example, I know that, doesn't Eagle Island have water slides in it, I think? Certainly Discovery's got the pump, but I don't know if anybody has all of those components. Let me look around and see if that does pop up, or if there's any in the valley that certainly get to that. Good question though. Let me do some digging on that.
Even if you have some examples that have the separate things, we get fixated on what the original purpose of this thing was, which was to provide a supply of irrigation water. And I think it was sort of an afterthought with the beach here. Hmm. And trying to get the bigger vision might be helpful.
Okay.
It's in another state, me and Bobby will volunteer to go.
I think there's one in
depending on the state.
Valley. Okay, Valley.
I think there's one in Ontario, Oregon.
Come out.
Yeah, the council will take them out.
Every day, Richard. Every day.
Tijuana.
Well, we certainly thank you. And if you kind of look around in your travels and all, you might have some pictures or
You
get some of some park that we could mimic a little.
Yeah, there's got to be. I'm just not. It's not coming off the top of my head, but I'm sure. I know that. I know that one of the parks that has a significant water slide and aquatic area is in Pocatello. They've got a pretty significant one over there, and they're building right now. The Portland Medical Group Foundation is building them a 80-acre park that is sort of in the northeast part of Pocatello, right on the Chubbuck line, and it's got darn near everything going on in it. It's got an edible garden in it, believe it or not. Fruit trees that basically just are intended for people to come and just snack on. They've really run a gamut of things. So
kind of a neat idea.
Certainly, mm-hmm. We'll forward that on.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will not pick your apples if we put apple trees in.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
I'm assuming there might be some grants out there somewhere. Not to put any more work on your workload.
Well, I think, you know, if we have kind of a vision of what we, there's smaller grants we can get to install certain things.
Yeah. I think that'd be great.
What's some of the smaller, lower hanging fruit, as you refer to it, is really the intent of the High Five grant. Certain portions of that are allotted to park inventory. So I was actually just whispering to Bobby, you know, well, how much does this cost? How much does that cost? So I think that there's some things that we can do.
In my recent travels, what I kept seeing was the placards that are put on projects that were funded by the water conservation or water resource park. It's part of the Parks and Rec Department.
There's
two different programs that they kind of have. And boy, those placards were all over. They rebuilt a historic swimming pool in Wallace with that funding. That McCune Park had one of those placards in it. And I had seen another one. So they were, it seems like that's a possibility
establish what a budget, what, you know, what the long-term scope is.
I didn't see that.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah, that's exciting. They've got some pumps there.
It's got nice grass on it.
I guess that one other thing I would throw out to you guys, and you guys particularly might want to look at this, Post Falls has done a bang up job in some of their parks. They have a website called Post Falls on the Move.com, I believe it is. And they have gone in and they put in several of those perimeter pathways at many of their parks. But that website is all about just healthy living, and it has a connection to their parks and shows everybody sort of what is available, what can, you know, operational stuff. I'm not doing it a service by chatting about it. You have to take a look at it and see. But they've done a pretty good job of trying to harness some of the power that they have. And they're not Coeur d'Alene. You know, they don't have the money that Coeur d'Alene necessarily has, but they're doing the best that they can. Now, having said that, some of their policy stuff, for example, this is something else for you guys to think about. They have the Centennial Trail that runs right through there, and we went and saw a apartment complex that was built 400 units or so. Literally, there's the trail. Here's the back of the apartment complex. In between is a chain link fence with barbed wire strewn all the way across, and not a single connection to the trail. And you have people who may not have, in terms of a ton of money, you know, that would be a phenomenal asset for them to get to, you know, potentially get up and down to work. But now, the policy, they have to go nearly a mile and a half out of their way to get to what is essentially right behind them. And that is, in that case, they have a trail system that they put a lot of money into, but because of policy, isn't necessarily being as utilized as well as it could. Only reason I bring that up is because, you know, I know you guys have a desire to continually expand your greenbelt and greenway system here. It's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind, you know, when those opportunities come about. Those little connections really, really matter. So, probably told you something Post Falls didn't want me to tell you. But
is there any way to get like lists of priorities for short-term or long-term goals?
I think what I can do, and it won't be too terribly difficult, is to go back within the plan and look at those list of recommendations and sort of organize them in a way that gets to that. Here's some short-term things, some low-cost types of things, and some of those longer-term vision things. Some of your parks, you know, don't need a ton at all. No. You know, they've got so many things already in them. But yeah, that's very, very easy.
Okay, thank you very much, and I think probably you've given us a great deal to think about, and I know we'll be seeing you in City Hall more. So anyway, everybody kind of put their collective thinking on how we're going to develop this, or how we might develop it.
I thank you. I get out if you can. My last thing is go check out your own parks as much as you can. Look around, especially before the snow starts to fly. You know, it's more comfortable. Enjoy what you have. You got some great things.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.